Tired of being frustrated and stressed with administrative tasks in your business? Proactive Payroll rocks payroll and provides relief. We handle your payroll needs simply and efficiently, allowing you more time to work on growing your business. We handle tax reporting and payments, direct deposits, benefit and worker comp reporting, and more. Locally owned and operated with over 30 years of payroll experience. We don't just process payrolls, we build relationships. Visit proactivepayroll.rocks or call 404-410-0031. Broadcasting live from the Roswell Infinity Studio, located inside Digital Ignition, where North Atlanta startups take off. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio from Digital Ignition. I'm Mike Salmon alongside John Ray. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Mike. I've got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
We had last week off, and 2 weeks ago, you were punchy. Did you recover?
I'm never punchy.
Well, you were punchy 2 weeks ago, and we've got three great guests, and I want to make sure you're not punchy this time.
Yeah, I'm in a great frame of mind right now.
Okay, good.
Although, it's interesting, as we come in this morning, a little bit of a power outage here at Digital Ignition, which it never, ever, ever happens, but they got the backup generator going. We've got some light in here. But I must say, in the low light, you've never looked so good.
It softens up my features, doesn't it?
It does.
Yes.
You're a good-looking man, John Ray. And we've got three good-looking guests here in the studio. Joining us from Snelling's Walters is Ralph Pascarello. Also, Mike Sims from Vinings Bank and Tony DeFaria with T. DeFaria Media. So we're excited to talk to them, find out all about their businesses. And we're going to start with Ralph with Snelling's Walters. Good morning, Ralph. And might I say, you've never looked so good as well.
Thanks, Mike. It must be the light, like you said.
There you go. Tell us about Snelling's Walters. What does your company do?
Snelling's Walters is a full-size insurance company. We do all sorts of stuff, property and casualty benefits, life insurance, things like that. Started off about 70 years ago as a property and casualty company and has grown probably at about 30 to 40% growth in the last 7 years. Grown like crazy, busting down walls. So it's a great agency to be with here in Atlanta.
That's great. Tell us about your background, how you got into the insurance agency business.
I got recruited about 9 years ago. I was in the printing business, as I was telling you guys before, and they phased out the division of my company and took some time off, came back and went into the insurance industry and writing property and casualty and got kind of bored with insuring buildings and stumbled upon cybersecurity and network and data security. And that was about 8 or 9 years ago. And it's kind of led a path to a little bit of unknown. You know, people back then, 8, 9 years ago, cybersecurity wasn't, or cyber liability wasn't anything that anyone spoke about. And of course, nowadays it's in the forefront with all of the hacking going on.
Let me follow up. Cyber insurance. Did I hear that come out of your mouth?
Yeah, that's correct.
What is that?
So it's a professional liability. If you know anything about property and casualty, and I'm not going to bore you with all the details, but there's many, many silos in property and casualty.
Right. And we'll go with the assumption that folks understand that part.
Right.
So you can you now insure yourself if something happens to you online?
Well, yes. Companies. Correct. So we insure a cyber liability is an insurance policy that covers you for your network data breaches, business interruption due to hacks, malware, ransom attacks, et cetera. So it is a full encompassing insurance policy that covers companies for that peril.
And Ralph, just to follow up on that, that's coverage that someone has to get for their business, They have to get that separately from the typical general liability policy, correct?
That's correct, John. Yep.
So let's talk about some of the details of what this means. And I see in the show notes something about the Electronic Crimes Task Force. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, that is a something that I've been privileged to attend. The ECTF here in Atlanta is it's a membership. It's a group of individuals from the FBI locally, Secret Service, Homeland Security, and a group of other larger companies here in Atlanta and myself have been an advisory to them on cyber liability. There are some cybersecurity companies also that participate in that. But a lot of people misconstrue what I do. I do not do cybersecurity. I do cyber liability. And I kind of tell it, it's this way. You know, you've got sprinklers in your building and you have fire insurance. So I am the insurance portion of that liability.
Gotcha. So talk about the kind of clients that you work with. Obviously businesses, but what types of businesses?
You know, it's all businesses, John. Years ago, I gravitated towards big data companies because they were the ones that were at risk. So cyber liability and data breach insurance, as we pushed back about 8 or 9 years ago, those are the big risks. Nowadays, it's all companies that are at risk because of business interruption. So whether I'm manufacturing shoes or an IT company, they have the same amount of risk nowadays as they did 8 years ago. Being on that electronic crimes task force has enabled me to kind of get a peek around the corner at what's coming as far as threat-wise to companies, not only malware and ransom attacks, but other things that are looming that may affect you in your future.
So. Our guest is Ralph Pasquarello with Snelling's Walters here on North Fulton Business Radio. Ralph, what do you say to that business owner that says, oh, I probably don't need to worry about the cyber insurance. No one's going to try to hack what I have. I'm not big enough. What would you want to tell that person?
Believe it or not, Mike, I do hear that once in a while. And I tell them again, it's not the data that they're after. Anyone is subject to a ransom attack. You know, if you have an internet connection and they find a hole in that, they are going to attack you. It's not so much that pushback that I hear. It's a lot of the pushback that we're all set. We already have insurance. But the problem is, as I was telling some of the guys before, is that companies are underinsured. That's what I see the biggest thing. So I may go to a company like I have previously about a month ago. I won't mention the company name, but a $300 million company sitting on $1 million limit for liability for cyber. You know, I always say, look, if you need an assessment, you have to find out what you need for insurance. So if, like I say, if your building is worth $20 million, don't insure it for $3 million. Get an assessment, find out what the worst that can happen, a risk assessment, and then go from there for your policy.
Just want to be clear, John, before you ask the next question, that if yep. Ralph was talking about a $3 million company that he didn't want to name, it probably wasn't Business Radio X.
$300 million.
$300 million. It definitely was not Business Radio X.
Yeah, we've ruled out one company anyway, right? Yeah. But to follow up on that, it would seem that this whole industry, if you want to call it that, this whole phenomena of trying to hack businesses, the cheese is moving so quickly, if you will, rapidly from one place to another, that keeping insurance coverage current is a big issue, even if you're trying to do that diligently, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's true, John. It is. There's a lot of moving pieces, which I can't explain here in the short time that we have, but fraudulent transfers of funds, what is that covered under? Is it my crime policy? Is it my cyber policy? What policy covers what? So there are specific gaps. And I tell people, don't buy a policy off the shelf. Make sure it's tailor-made for you. This is not something you want to gamble with because there are too many exclusions that could limit you from an actual claim. So don't buy it off the shelf. And yes, assess your policies every 3-4 months. Make sure that you are covered for the latest and greatest threat when it comes to cyber, because it is a changing venue. As I say, we're in flux. Everything is changing in this world. So
are there different cyber coverages for different kinds of companies?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yep.
Two, one comment, one question. Did you say a few minutes ago the cheese is moving, John?
Yeah. You never heard of that book?
No.
Who moved my cheese?
Okay. Apparently I'm the only one in the room. Okay. I'll have to check it out after the show.
Okay. Well, I revealed my age when I made that reference, Mike, because that book's been around a long time.
Okay, everybody's shaking their head too.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just way too young for that, apparently. Interesting. Ralph, I'm kind of fascinated by what you do and the product and so forth. And you mentioned making a claim. Two-part question. Number one, when you're talking to a company, and I'm interested if you talk to CFOs or who you talk with in a company when you're deciding the coverage, how do you decide the amount of coverage that a company needs? And then if a claim is necessary, for example, if I have homeowner's insurance and I'm robbed and someone steals my $1,000 worth of jewelry, you're reimbursed $1,000. It's pretty simple. How do you put a value on a claim in, when it comes to cybersecurity and cyberspace and things like that?
That's a great question. The average claim nowadays is probably somewhere around $6 to $7 million. That's the average claim. And there are so many different numbers people have thrown at us. You need to get a thorough assessment. So the size of your company, how many locations, how many people, how many ports. There is an application that we do in an assessment that is probably 14, 15 pages long that truly get a grasp of where you're at, what the risk looks like, and what the level of your security looks like before we're going to go ahead and invest in you and insure you for $15 or $20 million. So it is a thorough process. Like I said, don't buy a policy off the internet or from, $1 million policy because it's cheap. Because in the long run, someone's going to need to write a check, and it's probably going to be a lot more for than the $1 million. So the forensics, the legal, the notification costs, it adds up quickly, Mike. When a ransom attack may be, $25,000 that you're going to pay for ransom, that's just the tip of the iceberg. The forensics and the legal and everything that has to go into that afterward because it was a data breach, theoretically, could cost in the millions.
Wow. Well, interesting stuff. I mean, we could have another show talking about just how companies can protect themselves from ransomware and cyber attacks and all that. But unfortunately, no time today. But Ralph, for those that would like to have a conversation with you, find out more about your services and maybe follow up on your services, where can they get more information?
They could contact me at Snellings Walters here in Atlanta. I would give you my email address, but it's like 29 letters long, so we're not going to go there. I could give you a quick phone call. Phone number, which is 770-508-3013. And that's my number directly. And that's 770-508-3013. That'll get you directly to me.
And the website, once again,
SnellingsWalters.com. Right. And you can look me up on there as well.
Great. Ralph, thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks, Mike. Mike, if you're tired of being frustrated and stressed with administrative tasks in your business, are you tired?
I'm tired of that.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. That's.
I should probably call Proactive Payroll.
You already did. That's why you.
Yeah, I did.
You're not stressed.
That's why I'm not tired.
Exactly. Proactive Payroll rocks payroll and provides relief. They handle your payroll needs simply and efficiently, allowing you more time to work on growing your business. They handle tax reporting and payments, direct deposits, benefit and worker comp reporting, and more. They don't just process payrolls. They build relationships. Visit proactivepayroll.rocks or call 404-410-0031.
All right, John. And by the way, before we finish up with Ralph, I just want to say go Sox, right?
Or go Nova.
Go Nova?
Sure.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, congratulations on that.
Thanks, Mike.
Go Patriots. A Boston guy. Is that why we had him go first?
Yeah, y'all are over there high-fiving on your side of the table.
Hey, it's been a...
Let's move on.
It's been a good decade or two for, sports up there.
Yeah,
next up on the show, Mike Sims. He's the EVP and President North Fulton for Vinings Bank. Mike, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Tell us all about Vinings Bank.
Yeah, sure. We are a $300 million community bank that was founded.
You've been working with Ralph?
Should be working for Ralph.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly right. $300 million community bank that was founded in 2007, so just under 11 years or so ago. Focused on providing commercial banking services. So we're a full service bank to privately held businesses. The target market was with companies that are probably up to about $100 million in revenue. So true community bank environment that we provide.
How do you get to that target market that you're seeking?
Yeah, sure. Most of the companies that we're targeting, Mike, are, again, privately held, small to medium sized revenue companies. And we'll talk a little bit, I'm sure, about the banking world as a whole. But those folks have a difficult time getting banking services provided to them from larger organizations, primarily because of the size of their organization. And really what I think they're seeking from community banks and the relationship aspect of that. So it is not too dissimilar from what Ralph was doing in talking about. Let's go out and knock on doors and talk to companies out there that are in our target market from a revenue perspective, discussing what they're looking for and or missing in their current banking relationship.
Mike, just to follow up on that, you know, I'm always interested to get business owners' views on this, because I think maybe sometimes the perception is smaller bank, I'll get personal service, but maybe not the same level of technology as the big bank. But but given the way technology has changed and grown over the years and gotten cheaper,
yeah,
small banks can bring a whole lot of technology to the table for a small business owner.
They can. And that's exactly right, John. And I wouldn't say that that's broad-based, though, because technology is expensive and it has to be a key priority, key strategy for the bank. Generally speaking, there's truth there, but it really needs to be a focus of the organization. And that's what Vinings Bank has attempted to do. We are a one-stop location, currently working on location number two, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a few minutes. But in order for a community bank to be able to attract, provide services to, you know, advancing technology companies of the world today, you've got to have that core base of technology to be able to provide them those services in order to compete with the larger financial institutions who, in most cases, are going to have a brick and mortar location deposited at every corner of the stops that you go to. We feel like there's a much better way for us to be able to bank our client, providing them that high touch service, which is traditional that you're going to get from a community bank that in a lot of cases you can't get from the larger institutions because they kind of get wadded up in their own policies and procedures. Nothing wrong with that. It just is what it is with the size of a bank, size of an organization. But from a technology perspective, that's where we can make a difference because we'll provide them the similar platform that they can get from a larger institution because we have to, quite frankly, to compete. But at the same time, if you've got an issue or a problem that comes up, you're going to call 1-800-MIKE instead of 1-800-centralize this or whatnot. So I think that's the difference that I hear from my clients is they really enjoy crossroads of high touch and high technology, which is what Vinings provides.
Well, and you bring a lot of experience to the table. So
is that a nice way of saying I've got some gray hair?
In a good way, right? So a business owner can come and get personal service, but also with a banker like you that has been around the block a few times.
Well, thank you.
Do you like that?
At least you didn't say I had a face for radio. So.
Yeah, that's Well, I think Mike said I had that. But anyway,
I think he's trying to say the cheese is moving.
And, yeah, the cheese is moving. Exactly right. No, but you're exactly right. that is one of the key components of the bank that I work for, Vinings Bank. You know, if you were to go across the leadership team, our CEO Dan Oliver is a 40-plus year banker, started with Trust Company of Georgia way back when, and Clark Hungerford, who is our president and chief credit officer, also Trust Company of Georgia, way back when. And so we've got bankers who have a great deal of experience that we can bring to bear on that client. It's something that you traditionally will not find from the larger institutions, especially if you visit one of their branch locations. You know, you're going to find the younger bankers that they're training to do what odds for you. So I think that's exactly right. Our clients enjoy the fact that they can come in and talk to bankers who have, you know, essentially been there, done that, and they've got a t-shirt or two.
Sure. Yeah. We're speaking with Mike Sims of Vinings Bank. And Mike, you alluded to a new location. Yes. We're North Fulton Business Radio. Yeah. We're always interested in what's going on in North Fulton. So tell us more.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we absolutely found a location, which we're very, very excited about. It's 5960 North Point Parkway. If you're familiar with that, it's right up the street from the mall, right next to the Steinway Piano little shopping center over there. Bought it from a bank who was consolidating some of their locations. It's a great facility. We're doing some renovations to it. Hope that we'll get those renovations done here in the next 6 weeks or so. And then have a grand opening latter part of May, first part of June. So we're very, very excited about that. I've hired some very experienced bankers to join us over there. So two commercial bankers have joined us, a couple of SBA bankers, which that particular product set is very significant for the client base that we're going after, those small to medium size operating companies. Very excited about the location. I think it's going to give us a great deal of visibility. And the reason that we came to the North Fulton market, as you all know, It's very vibrant. Lots of things are going on, turn around, and there's cranes everywhere going up in North Fulton, especially in downtown Alpharetta. And we were looking for, Binings Bank was looking for a location across the city that was very similar to the Cobb County Smyrna location where we sit today, which is very rich from a small business, medium-sized business perspective. Lots of investment opportunities taking place there. And we saw the same profile in North Fulton. And so very excited. And oh, by the way, I live in Johns Creek, so that's my commute got a lot better.
Very nice. You know, I was going to ask you about expanding into North Fulton and why you're expanding. You kind of answered all those questions with that answer there. It's a very competitive business, obviously. You know that. Mm. What's next up? I don't want to get too far ahead, but is this the beginning of maybe opening multiple locations in the metro Atlanta area?
Yeah, Mike, that's a great question. Thank you for that. It really is. This is not, you know, as you probably saw in the early 2000s, maybe up until through 2007, it's not a build and sell strategy. This is a community bank that we're trying to dig some deep roots in the North Fulton market, build this bank up here. Hopefully we'll double the size of our total bank, go from 300 million to 500 million or so, excuse me, and then look for other opportunities across the metro Atlanta area that offer similar demographics to what we see in our Smyrna location, into the North Fulton location. If you can expand across into the Gwinnett area over there, the 316 area, I'd see us maybe 2 or 3 years from now contemplating another distribution site. But we got to make this one work first. And right. So all effort is on bringing in new business to the North Fulton location.
And North Point Parkway, you said?
Correct.
The doors open?
Hopefully end of May, June 1.
Would okay. Be
the, yes, sir.
So if you're listening to this after May, June of 2018.
That's correct.
Go on by, check out the location, say hello, especially if you're looking to maybe take your services or, you know, take your money elsewhere.
Absolutely. And I'll jump in there if it's okay. And you don't have to wait till then. Okay. I can certainly come and talk to you now. We're a full functioning bank. Obviously with technology, I can provide you services for anywhere that your business happens to be located. It was just important for us to put a footprint hold in the North Fulton area to demonstrate to folks that we're here and we want to be a meaningful part of the community. And there's something tangible about being able to drive past the bank and seeing, oh yeah, that's my bank right there.
Right.
And so the doors are open for me to do business with anybody at this point in time. The official opening for the location at 5960, again, end of May, early June. So
and some people may say, oh my goodness, another bank coming to the North Fulton area. But I think, you know, competition's good.
I think that's exactly right. And if you're really hard pressed to talk about the number of community banks that are in the North Fulton market, I'd, you know, challenge you and John to name a few that you might hear out there. There's really not that many. And I think community banks provide a significant service in particular to small businesses. And, you know, that's one of the things that you and I think we put down to talk about. And I'd love to give you a few seconds of a story on that, if that would be okay, and why I think community banks are significant to U.S. Population as a whole, in particular U.S. businesses. So real quick, some numbers, and I'll do some rounding because I don't remember things as well as I used to. People are moving my cheese quite frequently as well. But in 1985, there were about 14,000 banks across the United States. Today, there's just about 6,000. Of that 6,000, about 4,500 or so are what I would call community banks. And those community banks would be banks who are less than $1 billion in assets. So we're $300 million, so less than a billion. I'll give you another stat. There's $19 trillion in the system, the U.S. system today. 89% of that $19 trillion, so 89% of that $19 trillion is in deposits, the larger organizations, larger institutions. So larger institutions, those banks that are greater than $1 billion, okay? So 89% of all deposits across the United States are housed in those large organizations. 50% the loans that are made today to small businesses are done by those banks that are under $1 billion. And yet those banks only have control of less than 9% of, or so 10% of the balances of deposits that are out there. So despite what was intended with regard to Dodd-Frank and some of the other legislation that came after the Great Recession and trying bank, you know, too large to fail institutions, if you remember who those are, pre-2007 Dodd-Frank, those institutions had about 25% of the deposit base. And now we're here. We are. It took 10 years later or so, and they're kind of in the sixth largest banks, or about 60% of the deposit base, and the rest of them that are above the $1 billion make up the balance. You talked about competition.
Yeah.
From my perspective, if I'm a small business owner, I'm a privately held small business owner who does not have access to the capital markets. That's not good for, in my perspective, not good for the United States, not good for small business owners, because it's hard to get access to capital, in particular when it's stored in the larger institutions. So I think community banks are incredibly important and will continue to play an incredibly important role in the future for the development of small business and the support of small business. You know, so.
Well, Mike, we welcome you to the North Fulton market.
Thank you.
We wish you all the best, success in the world. Congratulations on the growth so far.
And, I appreciate that.
And keep it going.
Yeah, thank you.
And thank you for coming in and sharing the story.
I appreciate that.
Mike Sims with Vinings Bank here on North Fulton Business Radio. Before we go on to our third guest, I want to let you know that we are broadcasting from Digital Ignition. And this is the ultimate place for entrepreneurs to work, innovate, learn, establish, and grow their companies. Nestled within a 45,000 square foot building is an open floor plan with co-working office space, dedicated desks, private offices, meeting rooms, event space, a classroom, video recording studio, and a great break room with all the coffee you can drink. Right, John?
Right.
If you want a great co-working as well as space, which will impress your investors, your customers, and your future employees, visit digitalignition.com. And there are some great people as well. Steve and Allison and the whole crew here, just A number one.
They treat us well.
They do. All right. Our third and final guest here on the show comes to us from T. DeFeria Media. It's Tony DeFeria. Tony, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good morning.
Glad to have you here. T. DeFeria Media, Inc. Tell us what your company does.
Well, I grew up in the newspaper business and left it in 2007. So we're starting our 11th year. And what we are a group of consultants that are divided up by expertise that we provide outsource marketing and communications and branding services to medium-sized companies. We found a nice niche in state and local government. So we do a lot of work for the state of Georgia, Fulton County, DeKalb County, things like that, places like that. And, you know, I think we're ideally kind of situated to help folks in this sort of outsourced economy. I mean, more companies, it seems to me, that are outsourcing services. And so we can provide that a high level of marketing expertise and branding. But you don't have to hire us full time. We can do it as you need it.
Okay, so Tony, I got to get over to the newspaper angle just for a second, because you've got to feel comfortable that you made the right decision getting out of the newspaper business, as tough as that business has been. But what that background, tell me what that taught you that you bring to bear on your current clients.
Well, I got into the newspaper business quite by accident many years ago. Spent about 25 years in it. Worked in D.C., Baltimore Sun, and then the Atlanta Journal-Constitution was the longest stint. And I was fortunate because I came in at the time where technology was just beginning to start. And so I was charged with kind of setting up graphics networks and things like that. I was fortunate because I was surrounded by all of these really smart people. So I have a high level of respect for journalists and editors and writers, people that are charged with explaining to the public things that matter. And I can say that a large majority of them do that. And so, you know, I was able to kind of get into a lot of different areas. And, you know, working at the AJC, it's a great company. We had fairly large news events here, of course, with the Olympics and the Falcons going to the Super Bowl and things like that, big sports town. And so it was just a lot of fun.
Great stuff. So, marketing, branding, these are big terms. Talk specifically about how you work with clients.
I was served for a time as marketing director there at the AJC, and I learned through that stint that marketing is a science before it becomes creative. And so a lot of people don't put marketing at the forefront of any of their business endeavors. You know, they kind of do it at the tail end. And so we argue that, no, you need to kind of your marketing experts on the front end so that you know how to go to market. You can study the market and perhaps look at things, definitely look at things more strategically and more, and which will net you a better return on your marketing dollars. And so what we'll do is, since we have a group of folks that are divided by expertise, I mean, we can consult with them on media buying, printing, website building, any kind of communication outlet that's out there right now, broadcast, radio, Radio X, all of these things. What we do is kind of serve up a menu of options and then do that for them. They don't have to kind of do that themselves. I mean, we just kind of take care of that with a one-stop shop kind of thing.
Cool. And you got Business Radio X at the top of your list, right?
I do now, yeah.
There you go. Tony, we had the first two guests explain to us how they go after their target market. Who would you say is your target market, and how do you get in front of them?
Well, it's probably mid-sized companies. Companies that are probably $1 million plus may not have a marketing department. Or if they have a marketing department, they're probably stretched pretty thin. And so what we do is we can either come in and set the strategy or complement the strategy, be opportunistic about it, help with branding. But we also work for small clients. For example, I have a new client that's an auto broker. And so we've done all the branding, all of the business cards, all of the logos, mm-hmm. all of the signage that company is going to need. So we don't discriminate on the size of the client. But our deal situation is, a company that does have the resources and recognizes the importance of marketing.
And it sounds like you really customize what you do to the client that you're working with, whether it's come in one time and do all this, or maybe stay on board kind of as a retainer and stay on for a little while.
Yeah, a lot of times people just don't know how they want to market or what to do. And so, the job is, we start off with a conversation and then we just kind of find out a little bit more. That's where I leverage, I think, my journalistic skills, because I kind of do a lot of investigative reporting about each company. And we say that every company has a story to tell. And when we help illustrate that story. And so we'll figure out what they do, where they want to go, what they think they want to do, and then hopefully come up with a nice array of options that they can afford.
Gotcha. Well, the company's got your name all over it. So I'm assuming if we're working with T. Deferia Media, we're working with Tony, or fairly closely to Tony. So tell us about you and what gets you excited when you're working with your clients, and what motivates you.
Well, I get very passionate about my clients. For the state of Georgia, for example, I do a lot of work for the Division of Aging Services. I have a 90-year-old mother. And so there's an agency that is charged with protecting the elderly population, which is growing significantly in Georgia. A lot of folks don't know that even exists. So they have systems and benefits available to everybody, regardless of income, and so we get to tell that story. And so I think that makes a good difference. So I get excited about that.
Good stuff. So I'm curious about the really important challenges from a marketing branding point of view that your clients face. Talk about that, and maybe give us a success story.
As we were saying earlier, you got cybersecurity, you have technology that's moving at such a rapid pace, trying to stay on top of it. You have anyone can become a marketer. You can do it yourself. You can go on Facebook. You can do all those things. The key is to try to do it in a strategic way, and which turns out to be the most efficient way. If you kind of get that planning on the front end and then kind of determine your strategy on how you want to use Facebook, are you prepared to maintain it? Because a lot of people say, I'm on social media, but they're not posting regularly and they're not using the keywords and things like that. I'll go back to one of the county clients. We created a campaign for the DeKalb County Board of Health, where it's called the Brave Program. And that turned out to be a label, a very complicated government type of name. And so we called it Brave. And it was targeting teenage kids that were at risk. Really enjoy trying to help entities that are trying to help the community get ahead. And so this particular campaign was able to reach all of these teenagers that were at risk of like gang recruitment and things like that. And so we just wrapped that up last few months.
Tony, and you mentioned social media. You got to stay on top of that stuff these days. It's always changing. How do old fogies like me, how do we stay on top of that stuff?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's an interesting mystery. It is evolving all of the time. You need to surround yourself with people that are in the age demographic. Lots of the millennials are certainly somebody you need to listen to. One thing we found out is that we want to go to where the market is. And so if you're trying to reach younger folks, what are they doing? They're on their smartphones or on their, iPads or what have you. And so it does make sense to kind of market there. Do it personally. I mean, since I'm not in the millennials group by any means. Yeah. You know, I just try to stay on top of it and try to. I'm intrigued by the community aspect of it, in the same way that the community banks are beginning to kind of help neighborhoods. So there are a lot of these neighborhood websites that are quite active, and they help. They help kind of promote your message.
Before we let you go, as a former newspaper guy, I'd love to get your thoughts on the future of newspapers, print newspapers. You know, you mentioned the Baltimore Sun, the AJC, places you work. So you've been there. You were obviously smart. You saw what was happening. You got out. You're doing some great stuff now. Where do you see the future of newspapers, though? Where's that going?
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, that, you know, the print medium is definitely shrinking. I mean, it shrank. I said earlier that I wrote it to the top and then kind of saw how the bottom was coming. And it's mainly due to the internet. I mean, the internet has this massive ability to provide information. I think where the newspapers have an opportunity is that they know how to qualify stories. And so, there's a lot of news that's incorrect that's out there. And so, if anything, these newspaper companies are becoming more adept at content management and how to really report and investigate stories. And it's really important for democracy, because those are the public watchdogs. And so, I'm a big proponent of journalistic endeavors, because they get into things that people might miss normally, and they investigate.
And as a guy myself, it's done a little newspaper work in the past. I mean, it's the way it's changed. You talked about reporting stories. I mean, you would have to confirm a second or a third source before you would even go to print with a story. Mm-hmm. Today, they just throw things on the wall to see what sticks.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about newspapers. I'm talking about social media. I'm talking about all the new forms of news gathering.
Yeah. And it's dangerous, because, I mean, if you look at what's happening with Facebook right now, you've got all that data and it wasn't qualified and it's out there. And so there's a lot of misinformation that's out there, whether it's newspapers or cable or radio stations. They're able to kind of identify and spot those types of things and then try to get the real truth out there.
Yeah. Well, for those that would like to find out more about your company, look into using your services, where can they get some more information?
Probably the best thing to do is just go to the website. It's a complicated name. It's tdeferiamedia.com, tdeferiamedia.com, and contact information there. You'll see a nice array of all of the projects that we've done over the last 11 years, and be happy to talk to you.
Great. Tony, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Tony DeFeria with T. DeFeria Media. Also, a big thank you to Mike Sims with Vinings Bank and Ralph Pascarello with Snelling's Walters. Want to remind all our listeners that you can check out this episode and listen to it anytime you want, 24/7, by going to businessradiox.com, select the North Fulton Studio, and then, of course, select this show, North Fulton Business Radio, and you'll see not only this episode, but all our previous shows. I was going through the website the other day, John. My God, the number of shows and number of businesses that we've highlighted in what? Almost two years.
We're coming up on our 2 years.
It's a lot of people.
Yep. We've had a great, North Fulton is a great place to do business radio, right?
Yes.
Because we've had a bunch of great people, three great people here today, yep. and we get to do this every week.
And here on Business Radio X, we've been moving a lot of cheese. Did I use that term right, or did I just mess that up?
Okay, so Spencer Johnson just called in. He's the author of Who Moved My Cheese.
Okay.
And he wants his royalties. So,
yeah.
Okay. But he really owes us something, because I think we may have sold a couple of books for him today.
Well,
right?
I'm definitely going to be looking it up for sure.
I'll get it for you for your birthday. How about that?
All right, John, what do you say we do this again next week?
I look forward to it, man.
All right. A reminder too, to follow us on social media. We talked about that with Tony. We're all over the place. We're on Facebook. We're on LinkedIn. We're on Twitter. So follow us, North Fulton BRX. And for Trey, I'm Mike, and we'll see you next time right here on North Fulton Business Radio.